on this side of the sanctuary. And so it's really a great opportunity when you're like heading out the door and you go, oh, I've been meaning to ask you your name. Let's have some coffee sometime, right? And so instead of all the suspicion, like, what do they want? You know, like all the radar flags go up and stuff. This is an opportunity within the church to say, the church doesn't need just relationship this way with me. The church needs relationship this way. And you see how stronger it is when you have relationships with one another? See, when people start coming to the church, not because the pastor is so awesome, but they come to the church because they have friends here, people they consider their family, people that pray with them and are concerned about them, or give them a text during the week and going, hey, just thinking about you. How are you doing? That's family. That's church family. And so we need to get to know each other a little bit better. So we intentionally have Friendship Month, okay? Now, one of the rules to Friendship Month is somebody you really don't know or haven't been to their home or haven't invited to your home, okay? It's real easy. Everybody invites me, right? Just this way, right? With each other, someone that you don't quite know. And you get over that awkwardness. Next week, we're going to have an ice cream social because it's Joanne Bowler's birthday. And she won't be here. But it's also my birthday, and I'm going to be here, and I want to have an ice cream social with you. All right? All right. What's the next slide? Get into our message a little bit. Our scripture contains many avenues of the possibilities to preach, but it's about the transfiguration. And so I wrestled with the Lord a lot with this one. What is it that you want me to teach about, preach about, concerning the transfiguration? I mean, it's a wonderful mystery just in itself. And when I come before the Lord and go, it's a wonderful mystery, and if I could explain the mystery, it would be a mystery anymore? Yeah. The secret things of God. If I could explain the secret things of God, would they be secret? Yeah. So you kind of get it. I wrestle a lot with the Lord. Why do we even need to know about this transfiguration? Is the transfiguration a story given to us to educate us about the amazing power of Jesus Christ? Yeah, probably. Is it about conversion? About the glorious bodies that we hope ourselves to one day inherit and resurrect into, bright and shiny and clear as the light? Is transfiguration necessary to converse with the departed? Should we emphasize the Old Testament moving and transitioning into the New Testament? Because it's all of that. It's about Moses and the law. It's about Elijah representing the prophets. For the law and the prophets all pointed to this day. They all longed for this day. And now it's coming into fruition, into its fulfillment. The transfiguration represents this transition. Old Testament into the New Testament. Old ways into the new ways. How can you talk about the transfiguration and not mention the voice of God? This is my son whom I love and whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. For certain things are changing, and even the transition of the old guard. The Old Testament into the New Testament has God's approval, the Father God's approval. And we need to listen. Does God still speak? This is my son, he says. This is not another prophet. He's not another rabbi. This is my son. He's not another teacher. He's my son. He's not a government official or another Pharisee or a Sadducee. He is God's son. He is God. Perhaps it would be easy enough to emphasize the high priesthood in the order of Melchizedek, as Jesus is the high priest. For me, as amazing and as awe-inspiring and as majestic as the transfiguration is, I needed more, and I wrestled with, I needed more than another display of your immense power, more than another display of the mystery of God. More than another spectacle, more than another miracle. I need the scriptures to be real to me. I need the scriptures to be functional and practical in my life. What does that look like? What does that look like? I need you to counsel, Lord, all of us. I need you to instruct us to deeper meanings of practicality. Show me something, Lord. Show me something today. I need you. Now I'm looking for the Lord to counsel each of us in that way. And so I just look at the disciples. Just look at the disciples. After all, we're pretty much like them. Desperately seeking to understand God. Desiring to find meaning in our faith. Often messing up, just like them, but still searching for conviction that lead us to walk in strength and power and persistence. I'm convinced that the concerning of the transfiguration, all of those things that I mentioned are magnificent and hugely important and none really any more significant than another. I can preach for a month of Sundays just on this passage alone and never run out of material. But when I looked at those disciples, I saw that they were led. They were led by Jesus. Peter, James, and John were privileged, and you're privileged also. Are you led by Jesus? Give me an amen. Amen. Do you desire to be led by Jesus? Give me an amen. Amen. See, there's your first one. Jesus led. Jesus led. If you ever desire to have an encounter that brings you deeper into the experiences with the Lord, you're going to have to let Jesus lead. You're going to have to follow him wherever he may take you. And while Peter, James, and John were picked out to accompany Jesus, I believe that you've been picked out as well to accompany Jesus, to be his follower. Great line from Jesus, right? Remember, you did not choose me, I chose you. Jesus will lead you beside the quiet waters. He will lead you down the paths of righteousness. And Jesus will lead you into those mountaintop experiences. And this is what we're looking at, is this mountaintop experience of a transfiguration. This passage where Jesus led them. Do you want to see the glory of God? Let Jesus lead. You want to see revival begin in your heart? Let Jesus lead. You want to hear from God? Let Jesus lead. Do you want deeper spiritual understanding? Let Jesus lead. Follow him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But you have to go where he leads you. And most of you, if not all of you, I'm pretty certain that you're here because you sense some kind of spirituality in your life. You get that there's got to be something more, some deeper hope. And there is. And it's found in Jesus. Jesus will reveal himself to you in amazing ways. He will show himself strong in your life. He will lead you. But will you follow? See, you can't find what you're looking for in magic crystals. You're not going to find what you're looking for, and the essence of spirituality is not found in the alignment of the stars and the galaxies. It's not found in meditation techniques. And that which you desire and that which you seek and that which you long for is real and it's right, but you have to find it in Jesus and let him lead. Those disciples would follow Jesus anywhere, would you? When Jesus leads you to a mountaintop experience, he will reveal things to you and show you things about who he is and who you are. He will change your life. He will rattle the very foundations of your spiritual life and all that you think you understand. He will challenge your earthly thoughts and test them and enrich your life. He will teach you how to navigate each and every day walking with Him. He will unify your spiritual understandings so that you can stand strong in your convictions and grow in your compassion. All the while, your life bringing glory to God. Your life bringing glory to God. Deep spiritual encounters with Jesus will change you from the inside out. I'm just saying about it. Change me, Lord, from the inside out. From the depths of your souls. Listen, passion will awaken within you. Here's your next slide. Do you have spiritual passions? Did you know that you have spiritual passions? Or did you just think, you know, passion was just something of the flesh? You had desires of the Spirit of God. Many of us have seen this movie, The Passion of the Christ. Anybody seen that movie? Some people won't watch it because it's pretty harsh. But the passion of the Christ, what is his passion? Do you have passion? Do you have spiritual passions? Or are all your passions just limited to the flesh? Is that all you understand about passion? More money, more sex, more fame, more rusty stuff to acquire that you'll never use? Is all that really all you understand about passion? Spiritual passions will rise up within you. There are passions that ache within you to be fulfilled. And they can be strong within you, and they can be ignored. Maybe it's like this. Have you ever come to a place where maybe you haven't been in church in a while? You haven't been around family, and then there's something inside you that just feels void. Like a little bit like, I miss it. I miss church. If those words have ever came out of your mouth, then that's a spiritual passion that rises up within you that says, there's something that needs feeding in my soul that I'm hungry for. Yes. Yes. Do you recognize it as that? The longing for his word. Hunger to be in his word every day. You have spiritual longings that yearn to worship, to just sing his praises and glorify his name. And if you weren't able to do it, man, you would just feel like something's missing in the very depths of your soul. And it would be. See, these are spiritual passions that rise up within you, that the desire to honor him, even to act with integrity, to pray, to serve, to give, to bless others. Spiritual longings within you, ready? Ready for this? They are instinctual. What does that mean? You are created this way. You're created with these passions. You will consider God. You might reject him, but if you've considered him, it's part of your creation and who God has made you to be, to consider him. And often it aches, right? You ache, I gotta have this fulfillment. And Jesus fulfills. Jesus will lead you. You're not going to find it in the crystals. You're not going to find it under the magic tree. You're not going to find it in the rolling rivers. You're going to find it not in creation. You're going to find it in the Creator. Are you with me? Jesus will lead you just like he led those disciples into something amazing, something mind-boggling. Are you hungry for that? Will you follow where he might lead? And just like them, you won't completely get it. You just won't completely understand it. For now we know in part, then we shall know in the full. There are certain mysteries of God that are still mysteries of God. And Jesus' transfiguration before them. Listen, Jesus transfigures before them, and it doesn't really seem to upset them. They have seen Jesus do some pretty cool stuff. They've seen him do all kinds of miracles. They've seen him do some stuff. So it's really just Jesus being Jesus again. And look, wow, he's talking to some departed folks, okay? And Peter, as presumptuous as ever, butts in the conversation, doesn't he? Wouldn't you think about just like, wow, that's amazing. No, he wants to get right in there. Hey, I see there's three of you. And listen, it's good for us to be here. Would you like us to build some shelters for you guys? Maybe they've been hanging out there a long time. We're just sitting here. We'd love to serve. I just want to stay right here in this mountaintop experience with you guys. And we can stay longer if we put up some shelter. How about that? Now watch, the imagery and the sight of Jesus transfiguring before them and him talking to a couple departed guys, it doesn't even rattle them. It doesn't even rattle them. It's when the voice speaks. It's when the Father comes in, jumps out of their skin, right? This is not seeing is believing. This is none of that. This is the unexpected. This is the unexplainable voice that rocks them to the core. This is the invisible. This is the indistinguishable, the indescribable. This is the unseen power that drops them to their faces, terrified. I won't believe until I see it. There's no seeing this. There's no seeing this. And I can promise you this, you won't see it coming. Like a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye. When the disciples heard the voice, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. There's no fear of the transfigured Jesus, but the clouds roll in, a voice speaks, and they're terrified. Are you sure you want a mountaintop experience with Jesus? Are you sure you want a mountaintop experience with Jesus? Or are you just looking for a feel-good message from the pastor today to get you feeling good? Are you sure you want a mountaintop experience with Jesus? Or are you just looking for some emotional high that's going to come in some good musical arrangements? Are you sure you want a mountaintop experience? Or are you just trying to meet some religious obligation? Trying to earn his love? Are you sure? Because a spiritual encounter will change you. An encounter with the Most High God will terrify you, as it should. The unknown, the indescribable, the mysterious, the unexplainable, the invisible, the unfamiliar, and revival breaks out in your heart. I didn't see a thing, but man, did God move in my soul. We're so afraid of the unknown. We're so afraid of the unknown. The disciples are not afraid of Jesus. They've been hanging out with him. They've seen him all do all kinds of crazy and amazing and mysterious things. Is Jesus afraid? No. Are the disciples afraid? Not when they see Jesus. You know why? Because he's familiar. Because he's familiar. You want to get less afraid of God? Become more familiar with him. You want to know the voice of God and hear the voice of God? Become more familiar with God. You want to gain some deep spiritual understanding? Get familiar with Jesus. He's the only one that has crossed from spirit into flesh, and flesh into spirit. You want to know about spirituality? There's one way and one way only. Jesus. God has seen to it. That which you seek, I've put in you. Make sure you're seeking in the right place and in the right way. And then what does Jesus do with these disciples? They're so terrified now, right? Now they're so terrified. What does he do? When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. Jesus came, touched them. Get up. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw only Jesus. Here's your next one. Jesus comforts. Jesus comforts. Probably one of the most used phrases in all of Scripture, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I know this beyond any shadow of a doubt. Jesus intervenes on our behalf. Without Jesus, you should be afraid. Without Jesus, you should be terrified. It's hell without Jesus. From the place of, it's good for us to be here with you. Can we build you some shelters? Whoom! Terrified, face down on the ground. And Jesus intervenes. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid if you got Jesus. It's all songs and praise and rejoicing and dancing with our brother Jesus until the Father shows up. Fear, the natural tendency when confronted with holiness, with purity, that which is indescribable and unexplainable, fear. It's rightly so. They weren't interested in building shelters anymore. They were in fear for their very lives. The power of the Father, His majesty and His supreme being, His purity, overwhelming presence, His grandeur, His lordship in the absence of sin. You can't go there. You don't belong there. You can't earn it. You can't do anything about it. But Jesus comforts. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. The only way you ever get to experience that purity of God in the heavens is through Christ. For He has taken your sin, taken your impurities, taken your unrighteousness, and put it on a cross, paid the price that you might have the privilege of experiencing the Father. In His purity and holiness. That's amazing. That's amazing. And if I could say anything about this kind of encounter, God will overwhelm you, but not overthrow you. And you mean what I mean when I say that? He has complete authority. Complete authority. Yet, He does not overthrow you. He does not crush you. Like you could crush the flesh and just send you to death. He doesn't do that. He doesn't overthrow. He doesn't overtake your will. In fact, He gives you power to run away or to fall in worship. He'll give you the power to, you know, turn away and go or draw closer. He gives you the power to overcome. He gives you power for obedient living, power for victory, power to succeed in every physical and spiritual circumstance. And He even gives you in this transfiguration a glimpse of your eternal self. But feel free to walk away. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Do not be afraid of spiritual encounters. And listen, isn't your life a spiritual encounter? Dead and reborn, regenerated, born again, all those words we like to use in theology, it's the death of you and the rebirth of something else within you. Born again, so are you born again human or spiritually? So are you a human being trying to have a spiritual experience, or are you a spiritual being trying to have a human experience? They looked up and they saw only Jesus. Everything and everyone else gone away. But Jesus, there to comfort, there to reassure them, do not be afraid. And that's all that's required. That's all that's required for a spiritual depth and spiritual understanding, to look up and see Jesus. That's all that's required. It's not Moses. It's not Elijah. It's not the government. It's not the president. It's not money. It's not fame. It's Jesus, and Jesus only, that can bring you the comfort and the peace that you so desperately long for in your spirit. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus, and they were coming down the mountain. Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And then the disciples asked him, "Well, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus gives them some instructions. There's your next one. Jesus instructs. Jesus will lead, Jesus will comfort, and Jesus will instruct. You've heard all this before. That which goes up? Are you sure you want a mountaintop experience like that? And now you have to walk down the mountain. Jesus led them to the top, and then he leads them back down into the realities of earth. And they ask a rather earthbound kind of question. Why do the teachers of the law say before the Messiah that Elijah must come first? See, they're still bound to the teachings of man. They're still bound by the traps of their own misunderstandings. They're bothered by the voices of men. They're finding it hard to break out of all that they've always understood and believed. Do you? What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be rejuvenated and regenerated by the Spirit? And you go into a deeper understanding of that which is of God. They know what they know by tradition. They know what they know by heritage. They know what they know by denomination. And they're seeking now new answers. Why is it then that this must happen, Jesus? Why is it that this must take place? Why is it that they said these things? Why is it that they said we have to do all of these things and have all this way and go all those ways and do all that? They're seeking new things. Their new visions are coming into their eyes. They have new trains of thought. And they're open to what Jesus might say to them that is totally contradictory, totally different than what they know by heritage, what they know by denomination, and what they would know by all the traditions of their lives. Because you were brought up in a certain way doesn't make it right. And just because your family did certain things doesn't make it God's way either. You ever heard this one about the pot roast? The pot roast in the family? Family has a beautiful pot roast. They get, you know, mama gets a pot roast. She cuts off the ends. And the daughter goes, why do you cut off the ends of the pot roast before you cook it? So that's what grandma always did. Really? That's amazing. Not too long later, granddaughter's at grandma's house. Grandma, whenever mama makes pot roast, she always cuts off the ends of the pot roast because you used to do that. I mean, you've always done that. Why did you do that? Why do you do that? I want an understanding of why you do that. Oh, honey, when I was younger and just married, all we had was a pot-belly stove to cook in. And I had to cut the ends off the pot roast because it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't fit in. What you learn by tradition doesn't make it right. It isn't always correct. So listen, here's your next slide. We must learn to unlearn so we can relearn. My mama would say it perfectly. She would say, you know, you got to rewind and erase some of those tapes in your head. That's how my mom used to say, you need to erase some of those, or rewind and erase some of those tapes in your head. That in itself is going to take Jesus leading. And a better understanding and becoming more familiar with Jesus so that I know what is right. How can you recognize that which is false when you begin to understand what is right? The grand, majestic, magnificent voice of God said, listen to him. This is my son whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And they're working towards that understanding. Listening to Jesus would give them the answers that they seek. See, here's your next slide. Listening to Jesus will give you understanding and wisdom. It's okay to ask the question. In fact, you better ask the question. There's no silly question before the Lord. Are you looking for some answers? Jesus instructs. Are you looking for some deeper understanding? Jesus instructs. Are you looking for some financial freedoms? Jesus instructs. You got questions about giving, offering, and tithing? Jesus instructs. You looking for real love in your life? Jesus instructs. You looking for strength to endure? Jesus instructs. You looking to develop character that you might be a better man, a better husband, a better wife, a better daughter? Jesus instructs. How is it that we can live a life of forgiveness? How is it that we can live a life of understanding and mercy and grace and pray for your enemies and love? You can't. Jesus can. Jesus has. And Jesus instructs. And Jesus goes way above and beyond the scribes and the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Jesus goes way above denomination. He goes way above government. He goes way above philosophy. If you listen to Jesus, you'll come to know the truth. Just like those disciples, if they listened to Jesus, they would be prepared for what was going to happen in Jesus' life and in their own. And if you listen to Jesus, you will be prepared for what comes next. Whatever it is, you will gain insight. And just as you would have spiritual passions that maneuver and long and yearn within you to be satisfied, you're going to need some spiritual insight. And we must continually strive towards the deeper knowledge of God. Ask the question. Seek the Lord. The scriptures would be pretty clear about searching for it as you would a hidden treasure. And we'll miss it sometimes. I know the disciples did. We'll miss it sometimes, but we keep on striving. We're going to fail at times. That doesn't make you a failure. You may experience defeat at times, but you are not defeated. We keep striving towards that which is eternal, our hope. With Jesus, you know, the joy is always unspeakable. With Jesus, the peace always surpasses understanding. With Jesus, the robe that he puts upon you is always one of righteousness. With Jesus, it's the oil of gladness. It's a light yoke that you take upon yourself. With Jesus, it's freedom from captivity. With Jesus, it's rejoice in the place of sadness. With Jesus, it's the fragrance of holiness around you and the Holy Spirit of God manifesting itself, that you shine the glory of God. Would a mountaintop experience and encounter mean anything to you at all? Would it change your life? Especially when you come down from the mountain. Would you be any different? Here's the next one. Does a God-filled Sunday service transform your Monday? Let Jesus lead. Let Jesus comfort. Let Jesus instruct. And here it is. Turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would silver. Seek them as a hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. Knowledge comes from learning. Wisdom comes from living. Knowledge comes from dedicated study. Wisdom will come from observation. Knowledge is proud of what it has learned. Wisdom recognizes in humility and humbleness, I have so much to learn. Power is taking the knowledge and the wisdom that you possess and applying it into your life, living it out. not a theory, not a hypothesis, not a philosophy. Following Jesus is a game plan for your life. Following Jesus is a game plan for your life. Jesus will lead you to the mountaintop encounters that will shatter your spiritual ceilings of understanding what you think you know, but he will walk you back down the mountain into the brutal reality of mortality and a condemned world. I need his instructions on how to walk that, how to deal with that, how to live in that, how to minister in that, how to be kind in that, how to be loving in that, how to be different than the world. He will instruct you into the ways of eternal life. There is no God like our God, and he's out of this world, and he wants to take you. He wants to take you with him. Because you have experienced his glory, you may be overwhelmed. You won't be overthrown, but you might be overwhelmed. And because you have experienced his glory, you may be overwhelmed, but because you have experienced his glory, you understand. Many need an experience and an encounter so they understand. Let us continue in our worship by receiving our offerings to the Lord, something we haven't done in a couple years. If I can have my elder come on up, he'll say a little prayer over the offering. As I say a little prayer over the word, Father, pray that you would minister among us. Father, that these moments that we hear of you and hear about you, that they move in our hearts in the name of your Son. Amen.